Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of New Shooter Canada. This week we are going to be talking about winter shooting. And before we get to the main topic, we have our customary what we did in guns this week. So, Kelly, how about you take us start us off with that?
Sure. Okay, so this week, by the way, everybody, hello. Hi, George.
Hi. Oh, you know what? I forgot my public service announcement. My public service announcement this week is, this is me talking with my phone or my mic off mute. This will be me coughing with my microphone on mute. Now, I'm done
coughing. Who's that directed to?
And my microphone is back off mute.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, George.
Although I listened to the episode where we had Tom from Alberta on, and I think I blew everyone's eardrums out that week. So I'm on my regular headset. I'm not recording from my phone, so my volume level should be a little more manageable.
Okay.
So what did you do in guns?
I'm still coughing, by the way, but I'm okay. I'm a lot better than I was.
Do you want me to run that public service announcement one more time for you?
No, I'm good. I'll promise.
Not that it was specifically for you. Just say.
I think it was, wasn't it? Anyways, so we did a lot of charity shoot planning this week. But we went to the AGMM meeting in Brockville on Wednesday night. We were there and we got to meet a bunch of people, the directors and that. And they actually had some questions about the charity shoot, so I was able to answer those. But the guys were really nice. I got to speak to them a little bit about the ATT process as well, because they still require club-level ATTs and that. But nice guys. And what else did we do? Oh, yeah, you guys came to my place. And then we went up to Brockville, and we did some shooting yesterday. And Wanda even tried out my 10/22. I think she liked it. It's a lot different than the ones she's been using, but still.
Yeah, she enjoyed it. She really liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She was hitting more gongs with your MMP 22 than George was.
Yeah, she was. So she liked it. I think it's because of the fact that lighter trigger pull and no kickback whatsoever and all that as well. She asked me, is that a 10/22? Because mine's a little bit more tactical than the one she's been firing, like Stacy's and also Edith's as well. And I said, yep, you can change it out. You can trick it out whichever way you want. But yeah, anyways, that's all I did. Not very much, I guess. What about you, George?
Actually, why don't we let Thomas go, because he'll be covering story one, so I'll give him a bit of a rest while I do my week in guns. So, Thomas, what did you do in guns?
Well, also, Kevin got a real cool position at the Brockville Fish and Game Club. He's now the range operator.
Yeah. Sorry. I forgot
so
to mention
it's,
that.
It's nice to – that's been our advantage at least.
Yeah.
I got Firearms Outlet, and I got the calendars. And George is pretty cheap, you know. He only bought one deck of cards. I bought everybody's calendar.
What does that have to do with the calendar?
What's that?
I bought everybody a calendar, right?
Oh, did you?
And I said, hey, George, I got a calendar for you. He goes, well, how much is it? I said, $15. He goes, I don't want it. So I gave it to him as a Christmas present.
Hold on. You asked who wants a calendar? And I said, how much are they? And you're like, $15. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'll pass. I didn't know you already bought them.
Oh, yeah, I already bought them.
Oh.
But if you buy three, you get a fourth one free. So I bought three and I got the fourth one free.
That's why.
It all goes to charity. Anyway.
So I got the free one then. So I'm not being cheap. I got the free one.
If you say so.
It's a story I'm going with.
And I got hijacked.
Yeah.
My plan originally, I didn't even bring any guns to the range. My plan originally was just to go out, check out the range so we can plan, because we only have the one firing line and the trap and the archery. So we want to discuss how we're going to set up a line, what type of competitions to run so we can have stuff going simultaneously. And Kelly said, why don't you just leave your car at the park and ride at the exit?
Just hold on.
Hang on, let me finish. I said, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. So we get out there, realize...
No. Just pause for a second, because I have a question for you.
Okay.
What time did you get there, Thomas?
Probably about 12:30.
What time did you get there, Thomas?
Well, I left the house at 10:30.
Yeah. What time did you get here, Thomas?
I don't know. 12:30, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock, almost quarter after 1. And what time did we get to Brockville at?
I don't know. I wasn't driving.
That's why we got there as quick as we did.
Yes.
Well, my whole idea is I wasn't even going to shoot. I was just going to go out there, check out the range, talk to you guys, and then I was going to scoot back to Toronto and go to the CCCFR dinner. And then I realized that my car was at the park and ride carpool place, and I had no way back there. So.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had very much time in Brockville.
Well, I had somebody got really angry at me. They were not impressed. They said it was not acceptable. But I had a great time out there anyway. And Kelly fed us. We had some good food.
Yeah, we did. And quite honestly, we don't get together that often. Like, George is so far away, and I'm so far away from you as well. So it's nice that we can actually all get together. We were able to talk about the charity shoot because there's a lot of things that we needed to talk about. And also, I understand that it took a lot of planning for the dinner to take place. But things happen, and you know what?
But it was good that we got together because we came up with some really good ideas, and Kevin especially had some really good ideas. So hopefully we can put those into effect for the charity shoot. But so far the planning is coming along really well, and hopefully in early January we should be able to start ticket sales, and we have some other good announcements. But we're not announcing anything until we have actual confirmation on what's happening, because we don't want to make promises and not come through.
Right. Or even speculate what we're on the show.
Just say there's some really good stuff coming.
Yeah.
And I learned something new.
What did you learn?
What I learned is when I was at the charity shoot a couple years ago, I was using Jasmine's MMP. Mm-hmm. And the trigger impressed the heck out of me. I said, wow, this is striker fired? He goes, yeah, it's striker fired. And it was a totally different trigger than the MMP9. Well, I was shooting Kevin yesterday, and he goes, it's single action. I said, what do you mean single action? I said, Jess told me it was double action or striker fire. He goes, no, it pops the slide off. It's single action. It's an external hammer. There's no striker in the gun. That's why it has such a nice trigger.
It's an internal hammer.
It's an internal hammer.
But it's not striker fire. It is single action with an internal hammer. I thought...
Right, you just said external hammer.
Well, no,
sorry,
an internal hammer. Sorry.
Kelly, I'm on board with you.
It does have an internal hammer.
That's right. But
it
was told
it's not striker fired, no.
No, I was told it was striker fired, and that's why it impressed me that it had such a nice trigger. So,
yeah. And that's the gun that Wanda got to fire as well, and she loved too. Yeah, I love it too.
It was nice.
It never failed once like George's 22 does.
No, but we were also using some really good ammo in it as well. And I cleaned it a little while ago. Just saying.
Once I got the proper sight hold on it, I was hitting the steel nonstop on it.
Mm-hmm.
Considering I didn't have my shooting glasses, I was impressed with the gun.
Yeah, it's a nice little gun.
All right, so what I did in guns, rewind the show about 10 minutes and re-listen to it, and that's what I did in guns.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play with some 303 goodness that Kevin brought just for you.
Actually, yes. Last time I met up with Kevin, he had his Das Mauser.
Yes.
And this time, he had his Enfield. And his bayonet for the Enfield.
Which you insisted that he put on.
I think there's a section in the criminal code that hasn't been enforced in a long time. If your gun is equipped with a bayonet, you must fire it with the bayonet extended. I can't quote where it is in the Canadian code, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Honestly, I swear it is. It must be. Anyways, so Kevin was showing me the bayonet, and I'm like, oh, can I put it on when I shoot it? He looks at me. He's like, sure. because I've never fired it with a bayonet on it.
Can you extend the bayonet for me?
I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot it with the bayonet on it. So I got to shoot his Enfield, and he brought out his Savage. I can't remember what the model was, but it was a 308.
Yeah.
That was nice.
And we were, he had a target out at 100 yards, so we were fired off a few rounds out of that, and that's a nice, nice gun.
It was grouping nicely.
Yeah. Mm. And then, I got to shoot some Glocks. I stovepiped a Glock.
Yes. Ed, listen, that's the first time that's ever happened with
Red,
Glock.
I did not limp wrist it, so you just be shushing on that Facebook thing.
I think it was the ammo.
It's involved.
Did you see the picture Frederick put up?
With the
he's got a picture. He's got a picture. Honestly, he's got his computer on, and he's looking at the picture that we posted or that I posted. And in his hand, he's got a Glock, and he's got it doing the same thing. But I think he's got a 308 or a 223 rifle cartridge in it. Because mine does it too. It was classic. It was really funny.
Yeah.
If you hear a meow followed by a thud, it's my sister's cat going flying.
Is attacking the dog again?
Okay, great.
Attacking, I don't know what it's just, it's a pain in the ass. Almost had to beep. Pain in the butt.
All right, back to the show.
That was it. I got to shoot a bunch of pistols. I shot the two MMPs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time. Loved
it. VTAC, what did you think of that? It's a 9mm, so that's a little bit of.
Is that Kevin's?
That's Kevin's.
The tan one?
Yes.
I didn't like the sights. I couldn't hit the gongs.
Yeah, it has the fiber optic sights on it.
But it's got the fiber optic sights are over top of what are those other ones called? Tactical sights or the glow in the dark ones?
Yeah, the Trigicon sights.
Trigicons. So you have the Trigicons and then the Trigicons. And then the fiber optics were right on top, and I don't know. Yeah.
You didn't like them?
I wasn't a big fan of those sights. It was a beautiful gun. I the pistol itself, I enjoyed it. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It had a high sight picture. I had to aim for the top of the gongs to hit it, because I think he's probably got it sighted for a little bit further distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. No, because we were shooting at 22 yards.
I think the Trigicon are set for center target.
Right.
So the fiber optics are going to be up higher, right? Anyway,
he has just gotten it back because the fiber optics fell out of it, so he sent it out to BC to be fixed. So he hasn't sighted it in yet. So it might have been off as well, so just saying.
That could be.
He had a lot of work done to it. They replaced the fiber optics. The mags weren't dropping free, so they opened up the magwell a little bit. I think you said they changed the followers and the mags. They changed the mag release on it. It functioned beautifully.
Yeah, it was a nice gun.
So what was your favorite thing to fire then?
Me?
Yeah.
Lee Enfield.
Yes. I noticed that you changed our Facebook photo for...
That wasn't me. I don't know who did that. Hmm. It must have been Thomas.
I posted the picture, but I never changed the...
Somebody changed the profile picture from our logo to me.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been you.
Which is
wasn't me.
Fine.
Wasn't me.
Anyways, all right.
So yeah, that one made me smile and giggle.
There was another word you described it, but I won't say it on the show.
Thank you.
So this takes us to guns in the news. Thomas, take it away. The story one.
Story one is a Charter Rights and Freedoms violated. Evidence gets thrown out. This is from the province paper in BC. Firearm charges against a man who was arrested after police seized a 12-gauge shotgun and ammunition weapon from his truck has been dismissed after the judge found the accused charter rights had been violated. In August 2014, an RCMP officer identified only as Constable Powell pulled over Timothy Joseph on the Lockheed Highway near Mission after acting on a hunch that a motorcycle strapped on the back of his truck might be stolen. Police discovered that at that time that Ulm was serving a non-custodial conditional death sentence order and was banned from possessing firearms, I guess when he's got a problem with his spouse. Another RCMP officer identified as Constable Tillman arrived to help Powell and they spotted the buttstock of a rifle in the cab of the truck. As he continued to search, Tillman found that the shotgun behind the front passenger seat and the stock had been removed and replaced with the pistol grip stock. In the driver's side door, they found a folding knife behind the driver's seat, a pouch containing ammunition for the prohibited firearm. Powell testified that she'd heard at her detachment there had been an increase in thefts of cross-country bikes and motorcycles, but a Supreme Court Justice Neil Brown noted that there was no report of a stolen motorcycle at that time. The judge said evidentiary foundation for the investigation was thin and unsubstantiated. He noted that Powell did not tell of the reason for the detention, did not advise him of his right to a lawyer without delay, and did not give him a police warning. As the search was warrantless and the onus was on the Crown to prove that the search was lawful and had been conducted in a reasonable manner, Brown said in the reasons for his judgment released Monday, the judge said, I found from the onset throughout this investigation that Mr. Alm's charter rights were violated. The officer's investigation fell into a pattern which, in the totality, constituted a serious violation of those rights. The judge said that there were gaps and inconsistencies in the evidence of the two officers that undermined the reliability of their testimony. He found that the detention was arbitrary and that there was no grounds for a search based on the officer or public safety. Brown said the breach of the firearm ban was serious and the possession of banned weapons was also serious, and the community had a strong interest in controlling the use of firearms. Excluding this evidence as sought by Mr. Ohm may send the message that breaches of the CSOs, that's what conditions of, what CSO mean, Kelly?
Well, let's go back up to the top of the thing there.
Well, the CSOs, a court supervised, I'm not sure, it's something to do with it's a condition of the court, and that are not regarded with the seriousness that they deserve. And he acknowledged that the breaches in this case, both individual and cumulative, were egregious. Public confidence in the administration of the justice called for exclusion of the evidence, said Brown, who also dismissed the four firearm-related cases. Just a quick note, there was a CBC version of this story, and on that story they said the man had a sawed-off shotgun under his coat, which is not the case, and then now the CBC has removed the story from the website altogether. So Kelly and I actually were discussing this story last week, and she didn't like the story, so I went and found another version that wasn't as negative, and I wanted to do a comparison, and the CBC story is now gone.
Well, and the issue is that nobody wants to see a bad guy getting off on a technicality.
Right. Yes.
It's essentially what the issue with the story is.
Yeah.
This guy makes lawful gun owners look bad, and you know, he was up to sorry for hitting my mic. He was up to no good and he got off on a technicality.
Right.
So unfortunately, and this was kind of the pre-show discussion, even bad guys are entitled to due process, and these cops, by the sounds of the story, made an absolute mess of due process. So
yeah, I think
it sucks the bad guy got away with something, but in the same sense, the cops got to be held accountable for doing their job properly too.
That I agree with. The cops need to do their job correctly. I also, it's a condition. I believe in the CBC story, it had a little bit more information about the person themselves. They're involved in I think it was organized crime or something like that. Anyways.
They said they suspected that he was involved in organized crime.
Right. So, anyways, the RCMP, they went above what they were supposed to be able to do. They didn't, it was the due process. But still, yeah, if we're trying to say, you know what, you know, legal gun owners, we're not bad people. I'm just tired of people getting away with stuff. That's all. But
well, you know, if they would have done due process and did their job correctly, the guy wouldn't have gotten off in the first place.
You're right.
All right.
Yep.
So, all right. Story two, Kelly, take it away.
Toronto police find machine gun handguns in abandoned car. Toronto police say they are still looking for the driver of a car who crashed and fled a vehicle containing several weapons, including a machine gun. At around 4 a.m., police found a damaged Mercedes on a curb near Allen and Transit Roads, which is between Downsview and Wilson subway stations in North York area. But the drivers had left the scene. Whoever had been in the car was gone, but officers searched TPS, What is TPS?
Toronto Police Services.
Thank you. Excuse me. They found 3 firearms, 2 handguns, and a machine gun. They also found 2 silencers, one for one of the handguns and one for the machine gun, and a very small amount of ammunition and an amount of religious materials. K-9 and emergency task force officers tried to track down the driver with the help of the York Regional Police helicopter, according to authorities. Police said they don't have a suspect, but they do know the registered owner of the car. Authorities noted they do not know who was in the car or how many occupants were inside when the crash occurred. The vehicle is now being examined and the investigation is ongoing. Police said they do not believe there is any threat to public safety at this time. So, yeah. Okay, so what do you guys think?
Well, probably sounds like the some gangbangers ditched the car. I'm sure the Guns and Dangs Task Force are probably going to be investigating it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Keelan Wilson.
It's a bad area. It really is.
Yeah, my sister used to live right there.
We have lots of.
Is that why it's a bad area?
Yeah, there was a time we were in the backyard of our house.
Well, it's not at Keel. It's at the Allen Expressway.
Oh, is it at Allen? I thought it was Keelan Wilson.
No, Transit Road runs along the Allen.
Okay.
It's still a bad area because you're just up from Amrath Court, and the police refer to the area as the jungle.
Okay. Then no. I'm sorry. All right.
All right, so.
Shall we?
Okay, well, just chill. I got this.
Okay. I keep forgetting George. I'm not in charge.
It shut down TTC service for a while there because it interfered with the buses.
If you want to be lead host, I'll hand over the reins. No, otherwise, pull those horses back a bit. Okay, what's new in the industry? This is our new segment that we've put together for Thomas so he can bring us what's new in the industry. So, Thomas, take it away.
Well, I caught one article that really caught my attention. Weatherby has announced the release of its new Vanguard Series number 2 package. The original Vanguard just came with the gun. It didn't come with the scope. The new one has a Leopold package, and this package includes the Leopold VX2 3x9 rifle scope. So finally another package deal offered with a decent scope for a change. While it may not be Leopold's top-of-the-line piece of glass, it's still a quality-made optic, and it sure beats the $50 Bushnell throwaway scope that you get with the Savage and the Remington deals. If you've never handled one, the Vanguard is a no bells and whistles push feed design with a new gripped knight synthetic stock, which means it has soft textured black inlay grips on the panel, the forend panel and on the grip. The stock also has a signature Monte Carlo raised coombs, so it'd be perfect for a scope. And it looks a lot more functional and sturdier than the original Vanguard chart that I stock shot back 2-3 years ago. I test fired one. And the stock is available separately, too. If you've already got a Series 1, you can go out and put the Series 2 stock on your rifle. Weatherby guarantees the Vanguard will produce a 3-shot group measuring less than an inch at 100 yards when shooting with premium ammo from a cold barrel. And the barrel is also cold metal forged. Now, I can attest to the fact that this thing will shoot under an inch at 100 yards. I test fired JT's Vanguard Series 1 a few years ago, and 2 out of the 3 shots were touching, and the 3rd shot was under a half an inch away with his hand loads. And as I recall, the trigger was light, sharp, and crisp. And I even asked him if he had a trigger job on it because I was so impressed. And he said, no, it came from the factory out that way. The new Series 2 rifles come with a 2-stage adjustable trigger set at 3.5 pounds from the factory. Just note the trigger adjustment is not user adjustable like the Savage. It must be performed by a factory gunsmith. The Leopold X2, meanwhile, is mounted on a pair of Tally Design lightweight Vanguard mounts, and they say it's bore sighted from the factory from a gunsmith. We'll see about that. They say they're bore sighted, and half the time they're not. But the U.S. suggested list price for this thing is $1,050, I believe, and they haven't come up to Canada yet. So I went on to Cabela's, and we have a combo package up here too. Currently, Cabela's has a 3x9 Redfield Revenge package for $839, and that's a decent little scope. Or you can just get the rifle alone for $599 at Cabela's. So if you're looking for a value-priced rifle, this Howell Belt Vanguard series is a much better quality build compared to a Savage Axis. You owe it to yourself to at least shoulder, cycle, to bolt, and dry fire this rifle before you even look at a Savage Axis. So we've included some pictures of it. It is a great rifle for the money. It's the best bang for the buck up there. The new Savage come with the AccuTrigger, and I think they're going for over $500 with the AccuTrigger. For $100 more, you get one hell of a better rifle.
Now, just my opinion. I've got a question. Do you know what caliber these come in?
They had quite a selection. They had 223, 243, 270, 30-06.
There's quite a variety of calibers.
I wanted the Vanguard 1 when I went to buy my 270, and I guess they had stopped selling them because they were introducing the Vanguard, the Series 2, which hadn't come on the market yet. So I settled for the Savage Axis.
Cool. Mm.
I wish I would have gotten the Vanguard because the one I shot was sweet. It was a nice shooter.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but you didn't.
Well, it's budget too. That's the problem.
$1,000 for a rifle. That's a lot of money.
Mm. Well, the package, well, not really. Like, you look at a bolt-action Winchester or a top-line Remington, you're talking over $1,000. Like, a 64 is going to cost well over $1,000 these days.
Okay, you started the show by calling me a cheap... What? Hold on, let me scroll back up to the top of the show notes. George is pretty cheap, you know. I believe exactly is what you said.
Didn't I call you a cheap bastard on Sunday?
Yeah, I was trying to avoid using that word.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway.
There's cheap and then there's value price.
You know what? I like to call George frugal. Well, sometimes a single dad, you have to be. There you go.
True.
So let's move on.
I got your back.
Thank you. Let's move on to our main topic.
Excellent. Let's do that.
All right. Winter shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'd like to go over some things to consider when you're shooting in the wintertime. So anyone that's kind of down in the southern U.S. that's listening, this is probably not going to be too relevant to you. But since this is a Canadian podcast, relevance is what we're all about. So let's start with clothing and items to bring to the range. First off, layers, 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 and more layers, and then a couple more layers.
Mm-hmm.
And long johns.
Yeah,
that's a layer.
I love the winter, but I hate being cold. And with my job, I'm in and out of my truck all day long, but I'm never cold because this is what I do. Layer it up. You get hot, take off a couple layers. If you start getting chilly, put on a couple layers, and it applies with the range too. Especially if you're going to be just like sitting and shooting off a bench or just standing in one spot shooting, the cold's going to seep in. So layers is very important.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I know that when we were down in Michigan for Appleseed, it was mid-March. It was cool in the morning, and then in the afternoon, it actually did warm up a bit. So, yeah, I had, I think, 3 coats. At one point, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a pair of jeans, and then I had wind pants on and boots. And so at some point, you start stripping off some of that because it does.
Yeah, well, Tim got his Winterseed rifleman patch. So it was below 32 degrees when we started. I think that was the second day.
Right, it was.
And then by the afternoon, it was getting like warm and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you also that's a good point, because you don't know what the precipitation is going to be, whether it's snow or ice pellets or whatever as well, because on the first day we had rain, which was mixed with a little bit of ice pellets. So that actually made it even feel colder because of the fact we were wet as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, dress in layers so you can add and take everything off if you need.
And laying on the frozen ground didn't help either.
No. So, yeah.
So, now, something else I have in my winter kit are gloves, and they're finger gloves, but the fingertips are cut off, and it's got the mitten like basically that mitten flap that kind of flap. It will it'll flip back so you have your fingers exposed, but then you can flip it back forward, and then now it looks like a mitten.
Are they attached by a long piece of string?
Ha You're hilarious.
So sometimes those get in the way, though, right?
Yes.
Right. So I have fingerless gloves in my bag. So just the cheap ones at the dollar store as well, they will actually help warm up. Or even putting mittens on top of your fingerless gloves. So when you are ready to go and shoot, you can remove the mittens. And then you can actually go and shoot with the fingerless gloves. So that helps.
Or you can borrow Kelly's if you forget your gloves.
Yes, you can, Thomas. Can't
Thank
you?
You.
You're welcome. I've seen actually people shoot with gloves on as well, but they don't fit. So you got fingertips that are flippy and flappy and get stuck in the trigger guard too. Is that an actual word, flippy and flappy?
I'm not sure. With the ones that I've had, I've never had any problems with it flipping around or getting in the way.
Well, that's been my problem. Like, I borrowed a pair from Kevin, and his hands are larger than mine. So the fingertips were flopping around, and I've seen other people do it too. So get a pair of gloves that fit, I've also seen people with the mittens, and they've adapted their trigger guard, right? Right, guys?
Sure.
Well, you can get large trigger guards, too.
You can, or you can adapt it as well. I've seen some that have been kind of removed.
So, something else you can consider are wool socks or thermal socks if you're fancy like that.
I have a sock suggestion because I'm one that works outside.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. The problem is if you start moving around and you start sweating, your socks get wet. And then as soon as you stop moving around, your feet freeze because of the moisture. I always carry a pair of extra wool socks in my bag because once my feet get cold, you're done.
Yes.
You change your socks, put some dry socks on, your feet will warm up.
Right.
Well, and the reason why I suggested wool because wool will wick the moisture away as well, right?
Cotton's the worst thing to wear.
Right.
And I get a clothing voucher every year, and I buy a case of pocket heaters. I put a pocket heater in each toe. I put a pocket heater in my toque. Yes, I said toque, not hat. And I'll even put a pocket heater inside my jacket pocket.
Right. Well, one of the suggestions I have is wear the dry fit socks and then wear your wool over top of it for the warmth.
Yep.
Good idea.
And that way, the dry fit will wick the sweat and it'll actually keep you warmer as well.
Good idea.
So that was going back to the socks. Sorry about that. Anyways, next. Okay.
All the environmentalists, just hit your fast forward button.
Close your ears.
This one I put in just as a kind of a tongue in cheek kind of poke at Wanda. A car close by that is running. LOL.
I'm getting Wanda Kremlin.
Well, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea, and the reason is because a lot of ranges don't have places where you can get out of the wind. And if you have your car there, you can actually just go over it and sit in the car and exactly that, keep out of the wind. It doesn't have to be running, right? You can just actually warm up.
The heater works better when it's running.
True. Anyways.
Okay. Next is boots that are lined and or waterproofed.
Right.
And this kind of goes back to what Thomas was saying before. You don't want your feet getting wet. As soon as your feet get wet, you're done for the day.
Correct.
And if you're being up north here, you're going to be getting tromping through a lot of snow. And as that snow gets on the boots and it starts melting, your boots are going to get wet, so far, so on and so forth.
Good pair of Gore-Tex boots.
Yep. Gore-Tex, and I would put silicone spray on it. If you've got leather boots, invest in some dubbin. At least as long as you keep the snow from melting and leather getting wet, you're okay. Once the leather gets wet, it'll seep through too.
Wind pants or waterproof pants?
Snow pants. I have two pairs.
Snow pants. Mm-hmm. Those work too?
I have the lined pants. They have a little bit of terry on the inside. They're waterproof. They're great, especially if you're laying in a mud puddle.
Excellent.
I like the snow pants because I've got my snow pants have zippers along the full sides. So if you if you're getting hot and you're starting to sweat, you can just open them up a little bit, get a little ventilation through there, and it stops your sweating. If you get cold, you can just zip them right up. But in my job, a lot of us work outside. And we all have snow pants.
Next on the list is a thermos of coffee. And if you make it an Irish coffee, it'll make you just a little bit warmer.
But not when you're
shooting. No alcohol.
Not when you're shooting.
No alcohol.
Keep the Irish coffee for after you're done shooting.
True. I actually added the next one. So
it's a good point because you don't realize when you're out in the sun, sunglasses and sunscreen, even in the wintertime.
In the wintertime, you can get snow blindness and that. So it's even more important to change your glasses over to safety to the sunglasses and also the sunscreen as well because, again, it reflects off the snow and you can get a serious burn.
Just want to go back to the thermos. Wanda pointed out that hot chocolate is also a good suggestion.
Yes.
Thanks, Wanda.
Especially if there's marshmallows.
Yes.
And it's also a good idea to have a complete change of clothing with you if you're going to be outside, just in case you fall in the water or something happens. Mm-hmm. If you get wet, you got to be able to take that wet stuff off before hypothermia kicks in. So having an extra pair of pants, boots, if you're going to be
socks.
If you're going to be outside, say in like at a maple seed or an apple seed shooting all day, and you get soaked, then it's a good idea to have a spare complete change of clothing just in case you do get wet.
And it can also be another layer as well. You can add another layer of clothes on. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that takes care of the person. Now, what about our guns? Maintaining your guns in the cold. Lubricants. Now, this one we're going to have to lean on Thomas for his expertise because I don't have a lot of expertise in some of this stuff. So, lubricants. Thomas, what can you tell us about lubricants?
Just think of your car in wintertime.
Sorry.
How long it takes your car to warm up because a lubricant, well, not that type of lubricant.
Sorry.
We're professionals.
I'm not putting an edit point in there.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Lubricants can
firearms do. Lubricants. What can you tell us?
They don't taste good.
I heard the frog stuff does.
You can put it on actually, toast. Yeah, frog lube. No, well, it's not good in the cold, though.
No, well, lubricants, it'll gum up, right?
Lubricants get thicker in the cold weather. Mm-hmm. So if you say you haven't used your firearm for a long time and you've got a gun storage oil on your gun and you take it outside and it's sub-zero temperatures, your firearm's not going to function properly because it's going to be like glue because it thickens up. It's like when if you go to put oil in your car and it's been sitting, the oil's been sitting outside in the wintertime and it's just like glue as you try to pour it into your car. Well, you're going to have the same effect in your firearm. So you're always better to use the lightest possible lubricant weight that you can get, or even better if you're in sub-zero temperatures, no lubricant at all.
Or synthetic.
Well, it depends on how it congeals when it gets cold. Right. Even a synthetic lubricant will congeal and get thicker. So it's like sub-zero temperatures. In your hunting rifle, you're better off not to have any lubricant in it.
Okay. So one of the things they suggested as well is using graphite, too.
Graphite's good, yeah.
Yeah. Because it won't gum up, right?
It shouldn't.
Right.
Another thing is, I know Matthew probably killed me for saying it, but DW-40, if your rifle has gummed up, a little shot of DW-40 in the action will open it up. But warning, DW-40 will remove any camo dip from your firearm.
It'll strip anything off of it.
Yeah, anything that's glued on, it's fine if it's blued steel or stainless and you've got an oil wood or a synthetic stock. But if there's any camo dipping on your barrel or on your stock, it will destroy it. So, but a little shot in the action will get it going if it has gunned up. Or if you've got a lot of condensation, it's a good way to remove condensation. But
it does what it does. What a great segue into our next point, condensation.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Thomas.
Well, condensation is your worst enemy. It really is, because if you're outside and you're shooting in sub-zero temperatures, my suggestion would be, and I usually keep my case in the car too, when you're finished shooting, put your gun in the case, bring the case in the house. I usually leave it on the basement floor to the next day and allow the firearm to slowly, slowly move up to room temperature. If you come home and you open it up and you expose it to the warm, you're going to get condensation inside and outside, and then you're going to start having rust issues.
Exactly, right. Like what happens to our glasses when we step in from the outside. One of the other things is you can actually, if you have a garage, you can actually bring it into the garage and then do it as well.
Excellent.
But even if it's raining, like you know, at the maple seed, your marlin didn't get wet, but there was so much moisture in the air that the moisture actually got through the case and got into the rifle in the case.
Right. Yeah.
So need to check it. Make sure that you clean it and oil it up and everything once you come back in from the outside.
But give it a long time to come up to room temperature, especially if you're taking it on a warm room. Another thing is since if you're in like sub-zero temperatures, like up in the Arctic, and you bring a wooden stock in, it's very, very possible to actually crack the stock if you bring it into a warm room.
That's one of the things we were going to talk about.
Well, since we're talking about...
how about we talk about keeping snow out of the barrel, out of the muzzle first?
That's even good.
That's a good idea.
like any obstruction that's in your barrel, snow is just another obstruction, and pressures, if they can't get out the end of the barrel, they may end up coming back out your action. So it's very important to make sure that you're not getting any snow or any debris. Especially snow in the muzzle, since we're talking winter.
So you want some muzzle condoms?
Yeah, that's one of the things that they suggested on the article that I posted was a condom with a you know, either tape or
balloon, piece of plastic.
Yeah, or even just tape itself. Tape over the top of the muzzle. It's a good tip.
Yep,
it is.
Okay.
Fogging optics, Thomas. Any experience with that?
Oh, yes.
And what'd you do about it? Or how do you prevent it?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's the same thing. If you're shooting prone and you're exhaling, you're going to fog up your optics.
So stop breathing?
You have to really watch which direction you're breathing. There's also some product on the market that when I used to play hockey that you can actually put on your lens, and it prevents your lenses from and you can put on your optics too. It prevents it from steaming up. And I believe some of the scopes actually, I think Bushnell comes with one called WeatherGuard, where it actually stops the condensation from, it makes it bead off, just like that stuff that you put in a windshield glass. There are products to stop or reduce the condensation on your optics, both your glasses and on your scope.
Right. I'd be interested to see what happens. We were talking about last week, the EOTEX, about them fogging up in sub-zero temperatures. So I'm wondering if they do it as well. I don't know if anybody's heard any, if it's happened to anybody or if anybody's heard any of any it happening to anybody that's in the private sector at all.
I haven't heard any consumer failures, but.
Okay. Thought I'd add that.
Stock finishes, and somebody's got old cooies in brackets here.
Well, the same thing when I was talking about the wood stocks and them cracking. Cooey uses an actual lacquer on their old rifles. And think of a guitar. If you have a guitar that's exposed to extreme cold temperatures and then you bring it inside, the lacquer and the wood expand and contracts at different rates. And sometimes you'll see a really nice acoustic guitar that has all this crackle finish on the wood. It's because it was brought in from the cold and it heated up and the two different materials expanded and contracted at different rates. So you can get the old, you'll see an old Cooey rifle that were made up in Colborne, Ontario, and you see the crackle finish on the stock. That's because it was brought in from the cold and warmed up. So depending on your finish of the stock, you could also have that happen. If you've got a lacquer on it, especially if you've done it yourself, that's why I mentioned some of the wood stocks. If it's sub-zero temperature, you're not going to have a problem if it's an oil finish, but if you bring a piece of wood that's been outside and it's been exposed to the warm, your actual stock could crack. It's probably uncommon in a laminate, but on a fine stock, it is very possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got a question because you keep saying sub-zero Arctic conditions. Now, what about those, like, what are you talking below minus 40? Cause
I'm talking below. Finishes itself. Like even like as I was saying, a lacquer that's to say on a Cooey, it could be minus 20, minus 10, 15 could do it. Cause you got two different materials. Right. A solid wood stock, I'm talking to minus 40, minus 50, like you're up in the Arctic, it could damage a wood stock.
Right. I'm just saying most of our listeners aren't up in the Arctic.
I've hunted when it's been minus 40.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to be in the Arctic. That's why I brought this up. Yeah. You don't need to be in the Arctic to get minus 40.
No.
I lived in Ottawa for a year, and they get minus 40 weather. Yeah. And they're far from the Arctic. There's a whole other province right above them.
Yeah, that's from the frosty politicians. That's why it's so cold.
Oh, Thomas for the win on that one. Zynga.
Okay.
That's good. So, stock in sling fit, and what's LOP with
length
winter?
Of pole?
Length of pole. Ah, there you go. See it?
Yeah.
Even I learned something from my own show.
There you go.
Stock and sling fit and length of pole, LOP, with winter coat on. I've never took this into consideration.
It's something you need to do. So, Thomas.
Yes.
So what were you going to say about stock and length of pull? Because I threw in the sling fit.
Well, when you have to take into consideration, you're going to have, if you've got your winter coat on, you're going to have maybe a couple extra inches.
Yep.
So when you go to reach, you're not going to have the same trigger reach. Yep. So I would suggest whatever rifle that you're going to hunt with and you're going to be dressed out in the cold weather, I would actually practice your shooting with your winter coat on. Mm-hmm. So you have the same length of pull and the same fit all the time.
I have a suggestion for that. My suggestion is if you have one gun that you're going to be hunting with or you're going to be using in cold weather, to actually just keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And that way you know what's going to be happening. And exactly, if you have a coat on, your coat's going to be restricting as well. So it's not going to be like you're out in the summer and in a shirt and that as well. So you are going to have a little bit of a restriction with your arm as well. And I threw in their sling fit because if you're using a sling with support, again, it's going to be different than as if you're not using you don't have a winter coat on. So,
well, that's the advantages of the adjustable stocks nowadays, that you can actually fine tune it for whatever condition you're shooting in.
Correct.
The only other thing I was going to add is that on your winter stocks or wooden stocks in the wintertime, especially if you're using the felt material gloves, I've gotten into the habit where on the pistol grip, I put a strip of skateboard tape. That way your hand doesn't slide right off. At least you've got something tactile that your glove will stick to.
Right. That's exactly it. Good tip.
And the last one we got is trigger pull adjust for wearing gloves.
Yeah, because when you're wearing gloves, you don't have the same tactile. It doesn't feel the same, right? And if you have gloves on, your trigger pull, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same, so make sure you adjust the trigger pull. Because if you have a light trigger pull on it and you're wearing gloves, you might have an oopsie moment.
Yeah, oopsie moments aren't good.
No, they're not. Anyways, just saying.
That's how children are born. Oops.
Oh, dear.
That's where my mind went to. Okay, so some final thoughts on winter shooting. I'll throw in my two cents here and then kick it off to you guys. I love winter shooting because one thing that's quite often overlooked is most people don't like being out in the cold, so chances are you're going to have the range to yourself. And, you know, I think that's one of the greatest parts about winter shooting is you're not fighting over space. And, you know, sometimes people forget there's other people at the range, and they'll sit there for 20 minutes, and you're like, can I go down range? Are you done? So you don't get that in the wintertime. That's one of my favorite things about winter shooting.
Yeah, good point.
Because I'm selfish and I like the range to myself.
Mm-hmm. I will add that the biggest thing that I can say about winter shooting is be comfortable. Dress in layers, and as long as you're warm and as long as you're not wet, you can stay out there all day and you'll have a great time as well. So just, you know, and bring extra clothing. Thomas, what about you?
I'm going to add what George said. When I used to shoot at Northumberland, there was always the diehards that went out when it was minus 20, minus 30 below. And it was camaraderie, because after we finished shooting, all the directors and the instructors would show up, and none of the other shooters would show up. So it'd be eight of you. You'd hang around for an hour. You'd shoot for a bit, freeze your butt off waiting for everybody to show up. Nobody would show up, and then you'd all run to Tim Hortons and warm up and have some hot chocolate and stuff. So the diehards that actually end up showing in the wintertime, they get to hang out a little bit afterwards, at least to warm up.
Excellent.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Now, we did have a couple listener submissions via Facebook. Brad wrote, "The worst part about shooting in the snow is trying to find the brass because it melted a hole in the snow." Now, that is an extremely valid point.
True, true. I forgot about that because I don't usually shoot out in the winter now.
Yes.
You have an indoor range.
I do. I'm spoiled.
You're lucky. You are.
Okay. Well, Northumberland used to be gravel on top of the snow, so really trying to find the brass through the snow, and then you have to see if you can find it under the gravel. Your hands get all freezing because you're picking up your brass through the snow.
All right, so we got one more submission. Now, before we get to that, was there anything else you guys wanted to add to the main topic before we get to Reds?
I'm really, really grateful for the heating system at my club. I used to belong to Union, and it had such a high range, and all they had was these little infrared heaters. So unless you were standing underneath that infrared heater, you never got warm. You'd had to go in the range with your winter coat, your boots, and your gloves on. And then I was shooting at MCO for a while. And unless you go on a club-sanctioned event, because it's a 50 or 100 yard indoor range, it's a massive indoor range. The furnace is on toonies. So if you want to do an IPSC match, you have to pay for the heat while you're there. And the place you have to, if you go on a Sunday, which is a club night, they get the furnace going, but it's so big, it may take the chill out of the air. It's still at zero. And if you want to go on your own, you got to put toonies into the furnace to heat up.
That's kind of lame.
My range is awesome. We've got this huge heated area. Like, the ventilation system for the heat is right over the shooting areas. And you turn the heat on, and within 10 minutes, you're taking your coat off, and you're in your T-shirt, and your running shoes, and you're nice and comfortable. Yeah. So I really appreciate that the Port Perry Riding Gun Club has a really nice heating system on the indoor range.
Well, we'll have to come and try it out.
You guys have to come up. We can shoot prone and be nice and comfortable.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the invite.
George has been there, but we didn't shoot indoors. We only shot outdoors. It was the summertime.
No, we shot indoors, too. We shot your pistols.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, who wants to do Reds?
I think I can.
All right. Want me to? Take it away, Kelly.
Okay, so this is in response to the Cold Weather Tips article that I just posted on the Facebook page. So Red Ranch, who is our friend from Ohio, he actually said, "That's great. They recommend concealed carrying in the winter." So what they actually said was, you can wear your coat and have an access in your coat. Excuse me. Good luck with that in Canada. I think a chest-mounted nylon holster or leather outside the coat with a flap will keep snow out. Being openly carried may keep you from being charged with carrying concealed. I prefer to use the waistband holsters. I prefer leather. Plastic holsters are cold, even colder when they're inside the waistband. Yes, they are. And plastic holsters also tend to break in extremely cold weather as well.
I think he said he prefers using outside the waistband holsters.
He does. He does.
Well, I guess that's a problem. Even if you're open carry, if you have a coat and as soon as you cover it, it's concealed carry.
Right. He does concealed carry too, and I believe he does. Those are in the waistband holsters as well. So, anyways, he's just got bringing up some good points. Although being in Ohio, he is able to either conceal or open carry, and he doesn't have to. He does have to worry about the cold weather, though.
He's in the land of the free, pew, pew, pew.
I open carried in Ohio.
Yeah, so did I.
Kevin doubled open carry.
Hey, Thomas.
No, I haven't.
Just saying. All right.
So that concludes our winter shooting. If you have any suggestions or comments, feel free to email us at host@newshooter.ca or post something up on the Facebook page and contribute and add your 2 cents. Well, actually, you'd have to add your nickel because we don't have pennies anymore.
Thank you.
Events.
All right. Who wants to do the podcaster shoot?
Podcast charity shoot, June 25th, Rockville. Be there. We'll be square.
It's going to be excellent. We have some really good ideas brewing.
Yeah. Anderson. It was nice to have you guys all together so that we could talk about this and confirm some stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice little ranch. I like it.
Yeah. So I will talk about Valkyrie Defense in Coshocton, Ohio, just because of the fact that I've been posting these over the past couple of weeks. They have a couple more courses that are going on. It's December 12th. They're going to be holding a concealed handgun course, and then on January 9th, another concealed handgun course. So just talk to the guys at Valkyrie Defense. We have their link. So if you go to Valkyrie Defense Group on Facebook, you can ask them about it, and they can give you the details too.
Now, this is a CCW course for Ohio, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got to Skype with Brian yesterday. Bromance. Mm-hmm. Bromance.
Yes.
Secured.
You've missed him, haven't you?
It's been a while.
We're going to talk about the Ohio concealed in the end of the show there. So, right.
Thomas, tell us about Slamfire.
August 6th, handgun fundamental course in St. Paul, Alberta. The cost of the course is $200. There's still two spots open, so contact the guys at Slamfire for additional info. So you're going to have some great instructors. We're going to have Frosty, we're going to have Warning Shot, and we're going to have the Ferlati, and we're going to have Thomas from Alberta with his Canadian Uzi. So there's going to be some good people and a great time. So if you're out in that area, contact Slamfire, and there's only two spots left, so they're going to go fast.
Yep.
Did your heart flutter a little bit reading that?
No, not at all.
Coke drinker out of Pepsi. All right, so we got an email from our friend Rick from the Maple Seed, and he writes in and says, "Hey guys, Rick from Maple Seed here. Not sure what the format is for the charity shoot, having never attended one before. Don't worry, Rick, you and me both. But it seemed
no show three of them,
and I'm helping to plan one."
If you don't show up, you're toast.
Having never attended one before, but it seemed that part of the fundraising involves selling tickets to allow folks to try out guns. I wanted to know if you guys are looking for people to bring in guns to help provide different guns to try out, possibly. I've got a bunch that I can list out for you, but wanted to know if you needed more choices or if you already had enough. I'm happy to help out in that area if you need it. Also wanted to offer my photography / videography services as my donation to the cause. Let me know if you can use it. Keep the great podcast going. Thanks, Rick." Yes, 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 and yes.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to have you be our photographer and a videographer. Good. He did some really great things from Maple Seed. The pictures are phenomenal.
I went on his website. He's got some beautiful shots.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, we'll put you down as a sponsor for that. I know, Rick, that you're coming. So if you want to be one of our sponsors by providing the photography, that'd be awesome.
And you can bring all the guns you want, because usually after we eat lunch, everybody, it's basically a free line. And people come up and they try each other's guns and ammo, and people are more than willing to let you share and try their guns. So if you want to bring some guns let people try, that'd be awesome. We'd appreciate that. Mm-hmm. As far as fundraising, we are working on something at the moment. We can't release anything, but we are going to have we are planning on a fundraising aspect of a rifle shoot later in the afternoon. So more information will follow. But yes, bring all your guns, Rick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he was wondering about it, because I know that Thomas from Alberta was offering to send the Canadian Uzi, and also what else was he looking at sending as well? The Swiss Arms, that's right. Yeah. So he was wondering if, I think Rick was wondering if maybe people were sending in guns so that other people can try it and that as well. But we're going to test out Thomas's guns, just because of the fact he was nice enough to offer them. They're not part of the fundraising part of it, but yeah, at some point we were looking at maybe doing that. Sorry.
You okay? Just one note. The range is not licensed for anything bigger than a .338 Lapua. So right. You can't bring your 50 BMG if you have
one. No 50 cals or 40 millimeters or, you know.
Well, we'd love if you could, because that was actually a fundraising thing they did at the Slamfire a couple of years ago. But the range isn't licensed for it. So 338 pool and under is the only approval that club has.
Okay. All
right. So iTunes. Do we have iTunes?
No. No iTunes. So if you're not busy, get out there and show us some love. We were looking for some reviews. We also like your feedback on any show topics that you'd like us to cover, and also send us some emails and some Facebook messages, or you can even comment on our website and send us some of those ideas as well. And then also spread it and show us the love, you know. You know.
Facebook likes. We're at 544 and counting. We beat Edmonton Library, and I actually messaged Jewel and told her that. Thanks for the support. Keep sharing with your family and friends.
That's awesome.
For the most obscure and out-of-date reference, Thomas for the win.
I thought it was hilarious when Matthew kept whining that the library was beating
him. You're the only person that has any idea what you're talking about. Thomas for the win.
Okay. So, closing comments. Shall we move on?
Some clarification needed on Ohio?
Well...
Sorry, Thomas. I beat you up on that all the time. I apologize.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about Ohio and if they were issuing Canadians the concealed carry license, and they are not. So what they've done is, as of March 2015, they had a concealed carry reciprocity agreement. So with the other states that you're able to conceal carry in, it's actually so. We also talked about another state that was accepting Canadian licenses for their concealed carry. New Hampshire is that state. So I'm sure if you get the New Hampshire license, you can go and get a license in Ohio as well.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's – no, no. I don't think that's what's happening. If you have your New Hampshire license, non-residence, you can conceal carry in Ohio because of the reciprocity. Mm-hmm. But you can't get an Ohio
license. Oh, right. Sorry. Yep.
That's what the mix-up was last week, was somebody had said, if you have one, you can get the other, but you can't get in Ohio. You just have reciprocity with Ohio.
Correct.
I think New Hampshire is the only one that actually offers an outside CCW. Utah used to at one time, but...
Yeah.
So
that being said...
So next week's show topics. We don't have a topic for next week, so we'll work on that. But we'd like to hear from you guys. What topics are you interested in hearing about? What have we missed or not covered? Give us some feedback and let us know what you want to hear. And we will get Thomas working on that for you.
We'll also post it on the Facebook site as well.
I think I have to work on it.
I was wondering if you caught that.
You should work on it.
You're our rented mule.
I'm the government mule.
You're the whipping boy. All right, shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Tony Brown of Firearms Cafe. He mentions us on his show quite frequently, and I do not reciprocate. So I am doing it this week, Tony. Your last episode with a friend of the show, Tim, about his AK build was awesome, so I encourage everyone to go listen to that. And
I'm going to have to go listen.
Don't you always write his show and promote our show?
I write everybody's show and promote our show. See, that's what a good host does, Thomas. They promote their own show. Just saying. Anyways, so that's my shout out. Like I said, Tony's always given us some shout outs and love. So.
That's good.
Firearms Cafe. And if you don't mind a bit of language, Armed Ape. Just more of a, he does like movie reviews and just kind of a chat about life in general.
Okay.
Both very enjoyable. That's my shout out.
Okay. So I'm going to give a shout out to the Brockville Fish and Game Club. And I just wanted to say thank you for the great time on Wednesday night at the general meeting and also having the opportunity to do our charity shoot there. And they are also donating the range for free. So that's wonderful. We can put more money towards Soldier On as well. So, thank you.
My shout-outs to Trevor Furlot. He finally admitted that his 2011 is 1911, and I quote Trevor here, deep down inside, I was finally ready to acknowledge I was shooting in 1911. So he sold his 2011, canceled the DVC, and he bought a 10 Fagelow.
Tanfoglio.
Glio.
You gotta stop drinking coffee when I'm talking. He's been in denial for so many years, so he finally came out of the closet. He is a 1911 shooter. Then he got rid of it.
So he's not a 1911 shooter then?
Well, he sold the 1211. He'll buy another one. King at the charity shoot last year, he was talking about buying a Ruger 1911. They all come back to the single action trigger.
If it goes, right. If it goes bang, I giggle. I like it.
You're like, sounded like me. I like everything.
I do. If it goes bang. Although I tend to like the older stuff, the like anything pre World War II. I don't know why I have an affinity for that stuff. It just makes me smile and giggle.
It does other things too, but we won't talk about it.
Oh God.
What's the name of those short little pops that you can get?
Chubbies.
Okay, that's it.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Until next week.
Keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Take a kid shooting.
And keep it classy.
Good night, everybody.
See you next week.
Good night. 45 Lever with the Winchester
attack. I like my double barrel. Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees, God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.